Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's August 13th, 2013. You're going to need to grab two things for today's edition of Mark and Friends. Grab a pencil because you're going to need to write down this address because you're going to want to buy multiple copies of this book. And grab a box of Kleenex. It's going to be another tearjerker, as was yesterday's program, which incidentally is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. And once today's, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, is broadcast, will also be archived at greatnewsradio.org. So grab that box of Kleenex, and with your pen or pencil, write down Songs I Must Sing by Dolly Redden, D-O-L-L-Y-R-E-D-D-E-N. And you can purchase copies of this book at creativeforcepress.com, creativeforcepress.com, or through Amazon or Kindle. Reading from Psalms chapter 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I'm convinced that each and every one of you that were tuned in for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends has returned to hear part two, some more of Dolly's story. Dolly Redden, who lives in the Danville area, has children in Bloomington and around the area and parts of the country, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Dolly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many children in your family?
Three children, eight grandchildren, and five great-grandchildren.
Five great-grandchildren. And thank you, Georgianne, for being with us again. I'm calling you my reluctant guest, but it's not that you're reluctant. You wanted to brag up your mom, but you'd rather be behind the scenes and have her featured and telling her story. But thank you for being the catalyst to get her here to the home studio and to be available. And I guess I met up with you 10 or 15 years ago. You were a part of Grace Baptist Church in Mahomet. The pianist or worship leader, what was your role there?
I played piano there for a few years, yes.
And we, I think, collaborated for a Singing Men concert
That's
or something
correct.
Years ago. But now you live in the Bloomington area.
We do.
And you're a cheerleader for your mom.
Absolutely, all the way.
What do you think about her at 91 getting the sense that God was going to lead her to write a book, and then now at 92 traveling the country and sharing her story on the air?
You know, God's timing is amazing. I'm not surprised. The way it's come together, and she has so much joy, and I'm just so delighted to be a part of what she's done.
And I think it's your daughter that wrote the foreword to this book. The book is entitled Songs I Must Sing by Dolly Redden. And it's your daughter, Meredith Morris, that wrote this foreword, huh?
Yes, and she has done a great deal of work supporting mom as well. And it's just the whole thing. God has pulled it all together.
Well, yesterday, Dolly, I had you read your opening chapter of this book, Songs I Must Sing, and I'm telling you, there wasn't a dry eye here in the studio, and I'm sure those listeners that were tuned in were touched on many levels, just because of the redemptive work that God did in your life, that you were very transparent in your story and how you've sinned, like all of us, and yet how you were attending church and you were a churchgoer, but it was a whole facade, if you will. It was just a covering of who the true Dolly was. And yet, at the age of 53, you met all these smiling women that knew Jesus, that followed Jesus, and as you told yesterday, the impact they had on your life. But I began today's program with that verse out of Psalm 66, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And you did a great job yesterday sharing that in the testimony as you read it. And that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. So if you didn't get to hear it, trust me, you'll be blessed, encouraged, challenged, and fortified in your faith journey. Log on to our website and listen to it. In fact, paste it into an email and send it to a friend anywhere around the country or the world for that matter, because they'll be blessed by the story. But part of our prayer time before this broadcast, you had prayed that God would be honored, that he would be glorified, that he would get the credit, that you wouldn't get in his way of what he wanted to accomplish. And that's part of the reason you've recorded not only your testimony, but some of your poetry and some of your journal entries. And you've literally been journal entering since the time you came to Christ, like for 40 plus years now, right?
Yes, not daily, but most of the time after prayer.
And your heart's desire is what? With reading this book, what do you want God to do with it?
Oh, Mark, I'm glad you asked me that. My desire is that the people who read it will feel the love of Christ and how much He loves each one of us. And especially through my story, they would realize that God is wanting to do the same thing to them. And to feel the love of God through this book.
And that Psalm 66, you're all about now at 92, 92 and a half, going around wherever He leads you, speaking to various groups, women's groups. You were a keynote speaker at a conference a few weeks ago in Missouri, really proclaiming the goodness that He's done in your heart. So take us through a little of that journey. I know you read it yesterday, but that redemptive work where you were living a good life, but in the inside, there was that inner turmoil because you didn't know Jesus in a personal way.
Well, you know, Mark, I think we have to almost go back to when I met my husband because it's so much happened. My early life, you haven't asked me about that, but where I think it mostly began was with when I married my husband. May I tell you how I met him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's really strange. I was working in an office and my girlfriend called and said, Dolly, please go to the skating rink with me. The cadets from Parks Air College are going to be there. And I said, oh, no, I'm tired. I don't want to go. I didn't even know what a cadet was. Hmm. But anyway, she called me back 10 minutes later, and I went.
Now, how old are you at this point?
I'm just turned 20.
20. So this is back in the 1930s or something?
Let's see. You'll have to figure that out. 41.
Okay.
Thank you, Georgianne. Anyway, I went, and I was skating. It was a single skate. And I was skating along by myself, and suddenly someone skating backwards bumped into me and knocked me down. Hmm. And I was put out because I considered myself a fairly good skater. But I looked up into this young man wearing a gray cadet uniform with a big smile and his hand held out and saying, oh, I'm sorry, let me help you up. And instead of just helping me up and letting me go, here we were as singles, and he just kept his arm around me, and we just skated all around, and that began. That began. But now to bring up to what you're talking about, I played both sides of the story. I wouldn't let people see only the face I wanted them to see. Mm-hmm. I wore a mask for everything. And when I married George, I still wore that mask. You know, I loved him, but I didn't quite trust that he loved me because I'd been hurt too badly in my life. And I didn't trust love at all. But I was going to church and doing all the right things. But I have to tell you that where I started and I'm not sure I'm doing this right, Mark, but when I started having problems, I was true to my husband. In World War II, when he was overseas and shot down, and that's a big, he won the Silver Star and all that, I was true to him. I worked in an office and did Red Cross volunteer work at night in the Danville Hospital. It was 1950. Yes, it was 1950. I had a baby by that time, my son. George was sent to Japan in March of that year. And Rex and I were to join him in July. And the Korean War broke out in June. And it was nearly 2 years before I was able to go to Japan. Mm. 22 months. And during that time, I began to be resentful and to think that here I am, I've stuck home with the baby. And my husband's probably waited on with beautiful geisha girls and all that sort of thing. And I had a friend in California who was divorced and had an apartment. And she wanted me to move out there with her. So I decided, well, I rationalized that I'd be that much closer to Japan. So when I moved out there, she began to ask me to go with her to dances. And I didn't go for a while, but finally I did. And that's where my trouble began, because I began having a relationship. And to make a long story short, I was saved from that relationship, from going from bad to worse. And then I began to not write letters to my husband. But then I was saved from that relationship by getting sailing orders. And I wondered if I should go. But something in my heart told me that I would go and tell him. I got there, but I did not. That's where I said that. Where that all began, where I felt the shame and guilt. And then I met Jesus and it all changed, I told him. So I don't know whether that's what you're wanting from me, Mark. So you see, that's a dangerous age for young women.
Yeah, yeah.
young married women, especially when they're not near their husbands. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it would not have happened had I not been alone for so long.
Yeah.
I want to say how dangerous in the 30s for women, especially if their husbands are gone a lot.
And you really have a heart to reach out to people that are struggling with sin, that have made mistakes. And all of us have had that facade on where you look good on the outside, but really on the inside you're hurting. And I'm sure there's people even tuned in now that have made some unwise choices, that might be in a relationship that they need to break off, might be challenged by your desire to walk faithfully with the Lord, which you've done for these many, many years, as the Lord got a hold of your heart and brought healing to some of the mistakes you made, as he redeems all of us, as the Lord Jesus Christ took on our sins so that we can walk in freedom. You've experienced that freedom for many years now, and you've seen his healing touch and where he worked in your marriage, and you have three lovely children and grandchildren. And so for that person that maybe doesn't know about that relationship with God through Jesus, what was that defining moment where you finally got it? You weren't just playing church, that you felt that love, that care, that compassion. Those smiling women, those Jesus followers, what was that hope that ignited in you where you could say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to redeem me?
You know, when I first had that experience at that circle, at that group of women, I was touched deeply then. I didn't realize how deeply I was touched then. I just knew that what I saw, I didn't like. And for the month of September till December, I suffered. Mm-hmm. I suffered. And I realized the depth of my ugliness because God showed me everything. And my sins, everything was right there. And I felt that was the moment. Not the moment, but the part. It was more than just a moment. It was that those few months where I suffered and wept and wept and wept. And then the experience in the car. I can't even begin to describe the beauty and holiness of my Lord Jesus. It was so real in that car, Mark. It was so real. And then when I made the commitment in the closet, Mark, I want you to know that I got down in the dark closet. I cried out in a loud voice. I could have whispered to God and he would have heard me. Mm-hmm. But it was a loud voice crying out to him. Tell him to take my life. I couldn't live without him anymore. And that's when everything just, it was just overwhelming. The holy, beautiful love of God. I can't even begin to describe it. I've tried my best to write about it, but I can't describe it. I only know that it's pure and holy, and it's beyond explaining.
Now, Dolly, say somebody's tuned in right now, and they say, but Dolly, you don't know my story. You don't know I've had an abortion. I've had multiple relationships. I'm on drugs. I'm far from God. I don't believe he exists. What would you say to that person?
Oh, I would say, oh, beloved ones, whoever you are out there, whoever you are, just be like a little child and just get out on your knees and just see the picture of Christ with the little children around him, and you're one of them right in front of him, and you lift up your hands and say, Jesus, 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 because you are like a child to him. Please, please come into my heart and show me that love that she talks about. Come into my heart. Oh, beloved one, he's waiting. He's waiting. And his love is not just for those of us who are talking, but to each one of you who listen, and to you especially, dear one, who is suffering because of your sins, of that abortion. God will forgive you. He loves you. He's loved you from the day you were born. He created you in your mother's womb and had a perfect plan for your life. And like me, well, you fail to know that plan. And it's so late in my life when I realize the plan he's had for me since I was born. The same for you. I love you in Christ.
For God so loved the world, and that world is you, friend, that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. He will forgive you of your sins, no matter what you've done. That's the glorious character of Almighty God, who's sovereign and who is certainly holy, but he's merciful and full of grace, and he would extend that to you. I love that verse in James 4:8, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Almighty sovereign God cares for us. And when we know his character and we know about his love, we're drawn to that. And he is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Well, Dolly, your book, Songs I Must Sing, you've been compelled the last few years, actually for many years, to sing. But at the age of 91, God put it on your heart. We mentioned this a little yesterday, to record some of your poetry and some of the things you've recorded over the years, to put it in a book and then include your testimony. And for our listener that's maybe just tuned in now, I have Dolly Redden in the studio with me, with her lovely youngest daughter, Georgianne, who lives in the Bloomington Normal area. Dolly's from the Danville area, and they both drove out, met in Muhammad, and came to the home studio. And yesterday's broadcast is archived at greatnewsradio.org, along with this broadcast. And you can pick up multiple copies of this book at creativeforcepress.com, creativeforcepress.com, or also at Amazon or Kindle. So lots of ways to purchase copies of this book. But I'm going to ask you to read a couple excerpts from your book. Now, some of these are your journal entries over the many years, or thoughts that come to mind, and many of them were inspired through a time of prayer or a situation or a circumstance. I think one was after you were out riding and somebody was identifying you as like this racehorse that needed to be held back. Tell us a little of that story and then what came to mind and what you penned.
Oh, that was funny, really. I was at the circle of these smiling women. And
the smiling women are these Christ followers that
right,
have that inner joy.
Yes, they are a Christ. They're wonderful, beautiful ladies. And we were at prayer time, and I took a young lady home afterward. And she said, Dolly, the Lord spoke to me during prayer time, and there's something he wants you to know. And she was in charge of horses at a Christian camp near where we were in Cassville, Missouri, Camp Soaring Hawk. She had one horse that was very tense and had to be held back for a while. But when given its full rein, it gave her a good ride. And the Lord spoke to her and told her that I was like that horse, mm-hmm. that I was not ready to run full speed for Jesus, but I had to be held back for a long time until the time was ready for me to start speaking and for Jesus.
And I think the circumstance, God's divine sense of humor, 91 years young, he says, I want you to write a book, Dolly, share some of your testimony, some of your poetry. And here you are at 92 and a half, going around traveling, speaking, sharing. And I know as we talked a couple of weeks back over the phone, we both just delighted in the divine appointment of you and I connecting, and then me having the privilege of sharing your story with our radio listening family. But what was that inspired writing after that experience of being kind of told you were a racehorse?
Yes, and I didn't like being a horse. I told the Lord I didn't like being a horse. And the first words he ever spoke to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, were these: the beauty of my love is not found in the noisy places of the world, but in the quietness of your own heart. Those were the first words. And I thought, gracious, where did those pretty words come from? And I got a pencil, and I wrote them down. And then these words followed: I have put my spirit within you and will teach you many things. Listen to the voice of the spirit and learn the songs I would have you sing. And there again, the beauty of my love is not found in the noisy places of the world, but in the quietness of your own heart. Come to me in your solitude. Come in your pain. Do not try to measure my love, for it is boundless, not to be meted out in doses, but from everlasting to everlasting. Come when I call you to my waters. They calm the feverishness of your heart. Love comes in a fleeting second of grace, and grace I have given you.
So beautiful. And this is one of many poems and journal entries that Dolly Redden has recorded in her book, her new book, who knows, maybe the first in a series, Songs I Must Sing, and you can pick up copies at creativeforcepress.com, creativeforcepress.com, also at Amazon or Kindle. And if you stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, this program, along with yesterday's testimony, is archived, and you'll see a picture of Dolly right there on our homepage. If you followed my Facebook postings or the Great News Radio Facebook postings, you've seen a couple pictures of her in the studio and then just outside the studio. Dolly, I'm so grateful that you've freed up this time, and I'm thinking, boy, there's so many more topics we can talk about, so I'm already going to plan to have you back, because I want to know what it was like growing up in the 20s and 30s, and maybe in our closing minute or two, I know there's a lot you could say, but you were married for 67 years. Share a few life lessons for all of us.
Oh, my gracious, my gracious. You know, of course, love plays a great part in my story. I think I told you before that I doubted love. I was hurt so much in my childhood and other ways that I didn't trust love. But, you know, I became aware of not only the depth of God's love, but my husband's.
Hmm.
He was a wonderful man. He was a pilot, and he loved his family. He loved his children. We did many great things together, and I found that true love will last. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True love will last. That's the main thing I found out. The love of children. We were married 8 years before I was able to conceive, and I had my son, and I had two more daughters. And I found that I can remember when my son was born, and there again, this came into my thoughts just now. Back then, I was alone in the room, and the thought came to me, you have been part of creation.
Hmm.
And you know, that love began right then, the love of my child and the love of my children. Hmm. It's love throughout my life that I strive for and wanted to give so desperately.
And you could give it because you received it from God.
Your husband loved God,
and your family
was
on that course to learn more about God's love in the coming days and years. And now you're serving Him at 92 and a half and more passionate about sharing the love of God with others than you've ever been.
Right.
There's another story that you wrote or recounted in your book, Songs I Must Sing, that was a favorite or a special one for your husband and your daughter. How about reading that for us?
All right. First, I'm talking. The beauty of this day lies softly upon me, Lord, and I'm aware that beyond the meager words I try to write, the presence of the Holy Spirit is gently beckoning me into quiet communion, to holy thoughts. In gratitude I come. And these are the words of the Holy Spirit. Step into the realm of the Spirit as gently as you would cross a stream of beauty. All else is naught in the searchings of your heart. I come to you always in your tender moments, when the door of your heart opens silently to my knock. What is it you seek when you long to see my face? Is it the beauty of my gaze or love of my presence to your spiritual eyes? I am the beauty in a flower, the nectar of fruit, the secret of the butterfly. I am beauty at dawn. The heavens awake to my glory, and the sky becomes an artist's picture of color and light. Watch the sunrise and see me smile. I am in all beauty. It cannot be thus named without my touch. I touch your heart, my child. Touch others that they might see me. Draw the weary to thy gentle breast and receive my joy as I touch them through you.
The book is entitled Songs I Must Sing by Dolly Redden from Danville, Illinois. You can purchase copies at creativeforcepress.com, creativeforcepress.com, at Amazon, Kindle. And Dolly, thank you so much for being available for yesterday and today's edition of Mark and Friends. Thank you, George Ann, for assisting and praying us up during the program and being a support of your mom, who is being used of God, as certainly you are, and your family and grandchildren. Thank you, Dolly, for your story and just the way God's using you, that none of us are retired from the Lord's work, are we?
Never, never.
Never. Maybe just retreaded, as they said.
Amen.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. Both yesterday and today's broadcast is archived at greatnewsradio.org. So stop by, have a listen, paste it into an email, send it to a friend, or listen again. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, and God's very best to you.